Hey, hey, friends. Welcome to the Lens of Faith podcast. Today, I welcome biblical teacher John Farmer. He is going to share a couple amazing supernatural dreams that he had and the tools that God has given him to equip the church. Hey, John.
Hi, Leah. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I hope you're doing great. So, John, share the amazing prophetic dream that God gave you regarding your daughter.
Back in 2018, I discovered a guy named John G. Lake, who back in Civil War days, I actually activated really in the early 1900s, had an incredible healing and deliverance ministry in South Africa and Spokane and Portland. And he and a team of people that he trained in administering divine healing had 200,000 documented healings in 5 years in Spokane plus 5 years in Portland.
Wow.
And he proved that if you simply believe what the scriptures say about it and you don't believe what popular teachings about it that try to excuse and explain why we shouldn't really expect very much, you get results. And so my faith was really growing fast and like amazingly because it had such the ring of truth in it. So also at that time, my older daughter, I have two daughters, and my older daughter was born with microphthalmia, which basically means tiny eyeball. And Laura was born with an eyeball that was 1/3 volume, no iris, no pupil. So as of 2018, she was 30 years old, and she also had epilepsy, and she would sleep on an air mattress in the master bedroom so my wife and I could monitor her for seizures. At this time, with my faith growing and just realizing I can believe that what the Word of God promises, which, long story very short, no matter what I feel like, even if I feel powerless, if I just believe what God says about the power of the Spirit of God in me, that I can get the results that Christ demonstrated, taught, trained, and commissioned. You know, you hear those. He did that in the Bible. It kind of sounds like he meant it. But I had this dream that Laura drove up in a nice car, passenger side window down, and with a radiant smile and two perfect, beautiful eyes. And you don't get to drive if you have epilepsy. Mm-hmm. And the Lord showed me in the dream. He just made me aware that she was 40 years old in the dream. Dream stopped. That's like 5 or 6 seconds was my perception of the whole dream. I was immediately awake and I sat up in bed and I reached my hand over Laura and I said a 3-word prayer. I want that. I had zero doubting and zero wavering because I had just seen the heaven version of Laura. And I was to pray on earth as it is in heaven. I just said, I want that. And I went back to sleep. The next morning, Laura wakes up and tells us, Mom, oh, she went to go put her prosthetic in. She had been wearing a painted eye, you know. It wasn't a sphere. It was a cup-shaped thing, a bowl-shaped thing called a conformer. And she says, Mom, Dad, my conformer's tight, and she said, and my eye is pink, and pink means new capillaries are growing, as I would later, shortly after that, learn. And she said, oh yeah, and she said, there was a purple light swirling around inside my head behind my eye.
Wow.
In her left temple, and the left temple is also where doctors said the abnormality that accounted for her epilepsy was.
Mm-hmm.
So we were expecting very rapid continued growth, and if a conformer was tight, we were thinking, oh, it's going to be weeks, how long until it's totally just like the dream? But then I remember, well, in the dream she was 40 when she was perfect.
But
nevertheless, I had zero doubting and wavering, and I knew I was going to get it. A year passes, and I discover John G. Lake Ministries. I get trained in divine healing. I get trained as a trainer in divine healing. I get ordained by JGLM. I start teaching life teams and study groups. As you can imagine, I was you get pretty activated when someone's born with a defect like that. It hurts you. It hurts the parent so much, especially the mother. And it's so exciting to see this going on. But nevertheless, we had no other signs of development for a year until I persuaded the church I was going to that we should be having healing services because Christ clearly promised this. Nothing says it should stop. So we should expect it. So we have a healing service, and I prayed with the elders of the church for Laura. Laura was there. We laid hands on her. The next day, her eye went from 1/3 volume to 2/3 volume overnight, and she had a 70-degree arc of blue, an iris color to match her good eye. Wow. And a little, like a puddle of gray where the pupil was starting to form. So it was a dramatic burst of growth and formation. She wasn't experiencing any light processing yet. And then there's nothing for about 14 more months. And the regional director for John G. Lake Ministries visited the church I had moved to, prayed for Laura. And 2 or 3 days after that, we had another burst of dramatic growth from 2/3 volume to 100% volume.
Wow.
And a 360-degree blue iris. Now, it was still fuzzy, but it was blue, and it was all the way around, and that pupil in the middle was darker, fuzzy edges, but it was darker, and she could feel it processing light, like if she moved her hand between the light and her eye, she could see it get light and dark. And for the first time in her life, her own left eyeball would hold her left eyelid open the same, and it was right the same height as her good eye.
Mm.
And since then, we haven't yet had another burst. We eagerly look forward to it. But I have no doubt whatsoever she will be 100% by age 40.
Yeah, God does miracles.
That, as you can imagine, has extremely activated me. I'm very excited to read the Bible and the promises of Christ and the epistles in a fresh way and actually believe them. And I'm glad also to be part of a body of believers that's alongside me believing for the same.
Amen. I love that God gave you a dream and a kind of a preview of what he was going to do and even the age that he would completely heal her. That's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. So you said, how old is she now?
She was born in 88, and she'll be 40 in 4 more years.
So God's saying, you know, when she hits 40, she's going to have perfect vision, right?
Yeah, and in the record in the New Testament, even for the apostles, and his promises in John 14 is that we'll do even greater works.
Amen.
And so I do believe that by growing my faith with less and less doubting and wavering, we'll get this job done even before that.
You know, sometimes God just heals. You don't even know it's happening or it's going to happen. You know, this time he actually gave you a dream to kind of prepare you and gave you a timeline of when it was all going to come to pass. That's awesome. I love that. That would definitely boost my faith. And is this an incurable, medically unexplained issue that she has with her eye that she cannot
Yeah, it's very, very rare. And they said in microophthalmia doesn't get better. They would consider that a permanent condition. So she was just planning on wearing the painted prosthetics all her life.
Wow. See, God steps in. When man can't help anymore, he's exhausted himself. God steps in and he does what only he can do, you know, which is supernatural miracles. I love that, you know, and this is baffles a lot of, you know, doctors when they see things like this, when they give diagnosis on people or, you know, their opinion that this can never be cured. Or your story just kind of reminds me of when I was younger and I was praying over this lady that I knew her son most of my life, but she came to a church event that I was at and she asked me to pray for her, and she had carpal tunnel from being a secretary for like 20 years. And carpal tunnel is another one of those things that once you have it, there's no cure for it. You know, there's no way to really go and get surgery or fix it. Mm-hmm. She asked for me to pray for her. So me and another gentleman prayed for her. She got instantly, miraculously healed of carpal tunnel in that moment as we were praying for her. She was weeping uncontrollably because she said, you know, I couldn't do this before without pain, and I have no pain right now. We were all just blown away by it. And I remember like 2 weeks later, I was so stunned that that healing actually happened, you know, because this is an incurable disease that she had. And I checked in on her and she said, yep, I'm still 100% healed. Like there's no, awesome. No pain, no carpal tunnel. And I remember that really boosted my faith, you know, as a young believer in my 20s, that really boosted my faith because, you know, this wasn't like, you know, a small thing like a headache or something. You know, this was an incurable. She says she tried everything. There was no cure for it. So I love that's stories right. like that. God knows that that's really going to boost our faith. And it's amazing. Yeah. You also were at home when you had a dream about something that happened at a church banquet. Share more about that.
Yes. So as we know, at many churches, there's a culture of lots of socializing, which is a very, very good thing. What's not a good thing is if the whole church is all about socializing and it becomes kind of an insulated community.
Right.
From our earlier discussion, you know there's such a thing as a church culture where they celebrate the grace of God in forgiving sins, but there's not much focus on or expectation for the power of God in helping people become holy.
Right.
So I'm at this, in this dream, I'm about 4 feet away, just across a banquet serving table. You know, you're going through the line and there's all these dishes of goodies and there's a casserole of something that looked real good to me. And I just looked up and about 4 feet away, middle-aged woman standing across from me. And I just said, oh, doesn't that look good? And she just kind of gave me a cold look. And I'm thinking to myself, that's kind of strange. She must be having a bad day. So I said something else, just some pleasantry to her, and glanced at her, and her look moved from cold to hard, kind of like this. And I'm thinking, this is more than a bad day. And I said, do you love the Lord Jesus? And her body disappeared, and there was a gray cloud or fuzz or vapor ring around her upper body and head. She turned from a woman into a sinister thing that was neither male nor female. And she had like a cloak on and a hood that covered her right eye. And her left eye was sinister and cruel and was boring into me. In fact, left eye of that thing was trying to drill into my left eye. And I just pointed to it and it disappeared. And the Lord said to me, that's the spirit of religion that you're up against. And the dream was over. And I'm okay with it. Because I now know that even though we're in our physical bodies, we're living and moving in the material world, but we are at the same time, according to Ephesians 1 and 2, seated in Christ, with Christ, at the right hand of the Father, far above every principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named in this age and into the age to come. And he has placed all things under our feet.
What do you think that God's purpose was for showing you that vision, that dream? To give you a better understanding, or?
Yes. Right now at our church, we're doing some John G. Lake Ministry life teams. One of them's called SWAT, stands for Spiritual Warfare Apostolic Training. In order to do spiritual warfare, for any Christian, we don't just deny that the spiritual world exists or that the enemy exists. The enemy is not omniscient, omnipotent, or omnipresent, and they use military tactics just like human militaries. But it's important to know who your enemy is.
Right.
And the Lord was showing me for the project that I've been undertaking for 2 years now, this is the enemy whose camp I'm coming into, and they're going to be coming against me. And now I'm informed. So I can simply stand against it, and I can renounce it.
Right.
Using the word of God, the blood of the Lamb, and the word of our testimony.
Yeah. I'm reminded of when I first moved to the South, you know, about 11 years ago, you know, coming from California, where people don't brag about really being a Christian unless they really become a Christian and, you know, they have an encounter that there's fruit and, you know, it's life changing. They're not the same. And you can see the difference in their lifestyle, right?
Yeah.
And, right. You know, it's more popular to be an atheist, honestly. So people don't just walk around saying they're Christian in California, you know, especially now. But this was, you know, 11 years ago. And I remember when God moved me to the South, there was two root systems that run really deep in the South. He showed me the religious spirit here. And it was when I first became a wedding photographer, which I am now, but this is when I first started. I did my first wedding. And I was just thinking, you know, I'm in the Bible Belt. Everyone's a Christian, or they have respect for the things of God. You know, I had an expectation maybe of that. And so I just remember during the ceremony, it was really respectful. There was a pastor, very reverent, you know, almost a holiness and a reverence in the ceremony. But let me tell you, John, 15 minutes later, when I went to the reception, complete shift, night to day difference. Okay. You know, all of a sudden it was open bar, you know, full on hard liquor, dropping it like it's hot, you know, like a club scene. It just became extremely worldly. It's almost like they kicked Jesus out, you know, and I understand celebrating. I'm not saying that, but it was such an extreme shift, you know, it was just like everything else from that church service just kind of went out the window. And I remember that really grieved my spirit, even though, you know, I didn't know this couple or anything, but it just really grieved my spirit because I had this expectation or idea of what the South was, you know, with the Bible Belt and being super conservative or whatever. And I remember driving home that night and I just started questioning God. I asked him, I said, I don't get it, God. You know, this is the South. It's the Bible Belt. You know, there's a church on every corner. But his reply really shook me. He said, yeah, there's a church on every corner, but they don't know me.
Yeah.
And I just remember that really shook me. It was what I needed, though, because it gave me such a great understanding on the journey ahead, you know, what to expect, that there is a deep-rooted religious spirit in the South where everybody calls themselves a Christian, but they're also living just like the world. You know, they're sleeping with their boyfriends, they're getting drunk on their craft beer, their idol is basketball or sports, you know, they're cursing, they're gossiping, they're doing all these things that don't reflect Christ, but they all go to church on Sunday. They might even donate to their church, right? But their lives are lukewarm and there's no fruit. And so God started to show me one of the purposes of him planting me here was to be the truth where there's a lot of fake, you know?
That's
and
good.
So it's all part of my assignment.
Yes. There's a lot of, there's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of defeat. There's a lot of fear, even in the church world. Because unfortunately, over the decades, the grace of God has moved out of something that included freedom from the power of sin. Forgiveness, of course. But joy, strength, authority over the works of the enemy.
Right.
Dignity as a son or daughter of God, an awareness of your inheritance, a conscious awareness of companionship with God himself. But all these things have been kind of gradually trimmed out and down until all you have left is what I call fog. The forgiveness only gospel that just says forgiveness now and heaven someday, but between now and then just suck it up and don't expect much. But what if I look at the words and promises of Christ and in the epistles, what I see is the promise of a new mankind that has all these wonderful benefits of grace. And as you know, all the signs are so clear that we could be easily very well be approaching the end of this age. And it's time for the body of Christ to move from this little kind of grace and cultural Christianity
right.
to the joy, strength, and freedom of being a son or a daughter of God and actually winning battles for you, your wife, your husband, your kids, and those right. in your sphere of influence. And that brings glory to God, and it's the best life there is.
Amen.
So yeah, let's shine that light bright. And for the grace of God, we could have been, and I was for decades and decades in exactly that place of defeat. No more.
I believe God's shifting things, and He is waking up the church, and He is removing that root of religious spirit where there's going to be revival, relationship with Jesus, and it's going to be authentic and real. And He yeah. is calling His remnant to sharpen our swords for such a time as this. It's such an exciting time to live in, because I believe we're in the Great Awakening, and God is shifting things. He's exposing things, but it's all necessary because the end result will be revival and healing.
So we're making sure that everyone understands the new covenant and the new man or the second mankind. Those have to stay right at the center. If you're talking about divine healing or spiritual warfare or mind renewal or anything you could study in God's word, if you keep it anchored on the fact that Christ, by the terms of the new covenant, Christ brings and He initiates the second mankind, and with that holiness and restored dominion, your whole Bible makes sense.
You actually teach a life group at church. Tell us more about that.
For about 4 years, I've been teaching or leading John G. Lake Ministries life teams and study groups on usually Saturday mornings and Sunday mornings, and we still do that. But I'm branching out now. I'm formalizing the material to make a workshop for the church to rediscover the new covenant and the new mankind that Christ began and invites us to enter into. There's a certain critical mass of scriptures that you have to get them to get in front of people to mm-hmm. for them to realize, you know, it really is about more than forgiveness. And I can really be like, okay, how's this? Everyone knows the most common favorite passages, but how's this for a favorite passage? Rich, I got it right here.
Oh, you have the verse right there. How convenient. Yeah, so this is us reading out of 2 Peter 1. You can grab your Bibles and read along with us.
This is the definition of grace. We're given a definition of grace, but you never hear it in a church. Almost. Mm. His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by, and some translations say to, and the Greek actually supports the word to, called us to glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these, now you would think this would be appealing to people, that you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Mm. I don't know about you, but I like the idea of partaking in the divine nature.
Oh, yeah.
And there are so many passages that corroborate that this is what Christ is inviting us to. And it's actually the beginning. When the divine nature of the love of God and also the authority to undo the works of the enemy, when that takes hold in believers and they start to win victories, people's eyes open. Evangelism takes on a whole new flavor because people right. realize that it's not just for forgiveness, but for a dignity of a son and daughter of God and dominion. So here's where I turn my chair and just say, I'm developing a workshop.
Wow, you have it all mapped out.
And there's important headings, row and column headings, but basically it tells the story very, very clearly and naturally and succinctly. And in the workshop, this is going to be second and fourth Thursday evenings, 80-minute workshop, second and fourth Thursdays at Mon Christian Gifts.
You can learn more at monchristiangifts.com, monchristiangifts.com.
The first half, I'll be presenting the fact that the Great Commission has never changed. It just got repeated in Matthew 28, but this time with very different conditions. We have the power of God inside us. First Great Commission was Genesis 1, of course. But having presented an overview, then we're going to shuffle these passages, pass them out to the students, and they're going to figure out where they go on the poster. And it'll force them to think about it. They read the passage, and first thing that goes on their head is, I didn't think it said that. I didn't know God's offering that to me. And that goes right here. Then the next person's going to take theirs and say, and mine goes right there. Here's why. And mine goes right here. And then until they're all up there, and after 80 minutes, everybody walks home convinced that the grace of God is not like this. It's like this. And life takes on a grand new meaning. So anyway, that's the project I'm undertaking. I'm very excited about it.
So I encourage you to attend John's workshop at our mutual friend Monica's store at the mall, Mons Christian Gifts, and be edified, grow in your relationship with Christ.
I fully expect a resurgent of a new kind of evangelism taking hold in the Bible Belt. And it's going to be beautiful.
Oh, yeah. I'm here for it, and I can't wait. Can you pray us out?
Yes. Father, I thank you that you are so, so good, that you call us to partake in your character and your nature, not just in your love and your compassion, because man is not the true enemy. The enemy is the true enemy, and you equip us to defeat him every time. And Father, we thank you that you give us everything we need for life and godliness and for victory, for dignity, for joy, for freedom, and for strength. Your goodness and your love for us are unspeakable. We thank you for all these things. And also, we ask you, God, for your blessing on everywhere we go and every person we touch, that we'd be sensitive to the move of your Spirit, that we can speak life into those people and share your love and your goodness and your truth wherever we go. We thank you for being, allowing us, calling us to be part of what you're doing on the earth. In the glorious, matchless name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Well, thank you so much, John, for coming on and sharing your testimonies and this workshop that you're going to start to, you know, equip, edify believers. You know, God is really calling us to be prepared, to have our armor of God on every day, to keep our armor on, and to be equipped for the days ahead.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Thank you, Leah.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Make sure to subscribe to get all the blog and podcast updates at leahmariecarson.com,
on YouTube at Leah Marie Carson.
Follow on Instagram at Lens of Faith, and be sure to subscribe to the Lens of Faith podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or Google. Remember, friends, life becomes clearer when you focus through the lens of faith. Talk to you soon.